Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Latte, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter, who did a little bit of a Matt Carpenter today, stealing a tease early.
I ruined a tease, perfectly good tease from Jeremy.
Because Matt...
I set it up.
Yeah?
I set it up.
Set it up perfect.
Roger Clemens?
Hit it into the nets.
Well, because Matt Carpenter is still in AAA, that's who we're calling Mike today. You haven't made the bigs yet.
I've been demoted back
yes,
to the minors.
Yes, you have. You're
fair
back
enough,
down.
Fair enough.
But you could make it back by Friday. Yeah, I'll let you know on the waiver wire.
You better turn off his mic now.
Okay, let's get him off. Let's bring on Adam Harris from 670 The Score. And Adam, you're going to like this topic because I think you're a baseball guy. But Ozzie Guillen mentioned Mark Burley won his 150th game. He's a Hall of Famer.
That's a huge deal. Come on.
What do you think of that, Adam?
Right, so you guys think he's a Hall of Famer?
No,
absolutely not. I'm a huge White Sox right. fan, huge Burley fan, but come on.
Yeah, that's, no.
I don't think so. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I have such high standards for my baseball Hall of Fame. I'm so proud of my baseball yes. game, and I have such high standards. I don't think half the people that are in there should be in there. I love Mark Burley, and, you know, he's just hometown god here in Chicago as a White Sox guy, but let's not get carried away.
So what's your benchmark now for pitchers? Has it changed from the 300 win mark since we don't see that very often anymore?
It won't ever.
No, I think 300 wins, you're guaranteed to go in. And strikeouts are a big deal to me also. Yeah. And I guess how many innings you pitch and how you pitch. But, you know, it's just also I think winning World Series is a big deal. And that's what Burley's got. And he's got himself a perfect game. He's got himself a no-hitter. Those are cool things. But I think that as a pitcher, to be in the Hall of Fame, you know, you need to have shown that you dominate and that you can last. And that's another thing.
So we were sitting here talking, Adam, and we were going through some active pitchers that we think are Hall of Famers. Obviously, with a lot of these guys, I got a lot of playing left to do, like CeCe Sabathia or someone like that. But we have two guys. We have Pedro Martinez. We think he only has 219 wins. And Roy Halladay, I think, is on his way. Not there yet, but those are guys that are dominant that might not get to 300 wins, but we think they're Hall of Famers.
Pedro was so dominant when he was right. You know, it's one of those things where I kind of want to put him in just because of how much of a monstrous pitcher he was when he was amazing. You remember that 99 season where he just, like, was unhittable,
yep.
you know? And Roy Halladay, you know, from what he even did last year, I think you can squeak them into the Hall of Fame, I guess, just I don't want to get too emotionally invested because we watched them pitch the whole time, you know, and that's right. something that we didn't watch the older pitchers do.
Right. Well, and, you know, the older pitch, and that's why I said to these guys, and I think it's true, I don't think we'll ever see 300 wins again because, you know, the way pitchers, you know, they only go every fifth day, they're taken out after so many, so the bullpens, we've seen that a lot this year with the White Sox and Cardinals. The bullpen can cost them wins. I just think, don't think you'll ever see that 300, but me personally, Adam, I don't want to see the 300 magic number brought down to 250 or something, assuring yourself if you get 250, then I think you ought to be in. I personally think it should be a 300. Whose fault is it that these guys don't get 300 wins? If it's the system's fault, that's just their problem.
Yeah, it's not the pitcher's fault, really, because, I mean, you remember back, I mean, you don't remember, but back in the
watch
day.
Watch it, Adam, watch it.
When they would throw, you know, 100, you know, 20 and go 9 every time. And,
yeah, right.
You hear about pitchers just, you know, arms were like basically like rubber bands. They never got tired. I've always also kind of wanted to see what a pitcher actually looked like back in the 30s. I'm kind of like a nerd like that, but I actually kind of want to like watch a baseball game back then. Like, did they throw 95? Because I don't think they would have, you know? So they didn't throw as hard. And they didn't, the standards are different. So I guess if the standards are different now for a pitcher to be good, they could go down for the Hall of Fame.
Well, Adam Harris, 670 Score. We're talking about the White Sox a little bit. Finally got a win last night. What is going on the South Side? Are they going to turn this thing around, or is it too late already?
That's, you know, a lot of people are worried here that if they don't turn it around, that maybe come June, July, the Reinsdorfs can't afford this team and they're going to dump people.
Mm.
And, you know, that's a very realistic thing to think about. If they're 10 games back in June, you could start seeing guys go. You know, Burley might go to the Cardinals.
Oh.
And it's one of those things where, you know, that rumor comes up a lot.
Yes.
But, you know, who wouldn't want Adam Dunn right now? And I know he's not playing very well, but you know, a lot of teams would like to add a guy like that maybe towards the trade deadline. And, you know, the fans aren't showing up. Last night there was no one at the ballpark. And it was a little cold, but the team's not playing well. And it's a very scary thought to think that this team's all in, but they may dump and, you know, kids can play next year.
I almost feel bad for Kenny Williams because I think he's put together a very balanced roster. I'm a Sox fan. I'm an Ozzie Guillen fan. But it's been too many years now that he hasn't gotten the most out of his roster when I'm seeing Ryan Gardenhire do it up in Minnesota every year. I think if he doesn't turn this ship by June, then maybe it's Ozzie's time to leave.
I was joking with one of my fellow producers and writers at the station the other day that they should have made that trade Ozzie for the Marlins, you know, and got some young prospects for him. And it's just one of those things where he might be done because, you know, every good, you know, relationship comes to an end and, you know, they've been sick of each other. They've been working with each other. And if this doesn't really work out, Ozzie could be a very big scapegoat. I mean, we've already seen Joey Cora as a scapegoat, but that was kind of a lame one.
Adam Harris, 670 The Score. Adam, we've got to get to a break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the Bulls. Down 0-1 in their series to Atlanta. I'd like your take on that as he laughs. That might not be good. And I want to hear more about Burley to the Cardinals. I like that.
Absolutely.
All right, we're back. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.
93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Lon Tay. He is Jeremy Warner. And that is Mike Carpenter across the glass. Adam Harris, 670 The Score on with us. We are talking some Bulls now. We're going to shift gears and chat about the Chicago Bulls. And Adam, down in the hole, 0-1, as Joe Johnson goes off last night at the UC. How scared are you of the Bulls right now?
You know, I'm not.
Okay.
I watched, you know, every minute, every second of that game. I rewatched it last night. It's just one of those things where the Hawks shot 51%, and they were all challenge shots, or a lot of them were. And that's just something that the Hawks are known to do, and they did against the Magic, which, you know, they did it for a whole series against the Magic, and that might scare some people. But the Bulls played great defense throughout that whole game, and the Hawks hit a lot of challenge shots. You know, Joe Johnson, at one point, the Hawks were, 5-for-6 from three, and 5-of-5 of it was Joe Johnson, you know. And he's a great player, and he's a great shooter, but he didn't miss. And Jamal Crawford, we've seen that as Bulls fans throughout the years. That man didn't miss either. And, you know, he's occasionally known to drop 30. So it's just one of those things where I'm not scared because especially the post-game stuff, that I heard from them was really awesome. Like Dang said, there's no excuses. We just didn't come out with intensity. And Rose knows it too. They kept saying that they didn't come out with the intensity that they needed to and that Thibodeau was preaching to them. And that's something that I guarantee you, not guarantee, but I'm saying by tomorrow night, 10 minutes into the game, the Bulls have got to be up, you know, 9. They're going to come out shooting. They're going to come out firing. They're going to come out playing great defense. I guess to answer your question, I'm not worried.
Yeah, but Adam, I mean, they've been saying that intensity thing the whole Indiana series, and we only saw one game. I mean, is it almost? I'm almost to the point where I'm thinking, man, has the rest of these guys kind of caught up, figured out how to guard Derrick Rose? He's shooting 37% in the playoffs right now. So I'm a little more worried, I guess, than you are in the intensity factor because they haven't done it this whole playoffs except for one game, it seems like.
I kind of want to separate the Indiana series, though, from this Hawks series because Indiana's a completely different team than Atlanta. And I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard someone in the background. I think that the Atlanta series is different. They're different than the Pacers. The Pacers had to play that way, and they had to come out with amazing intensity. The Hawks did last night, but they just came out kind of on fire. And I think the Bulls kind of were napping, and they kind of are overlooking the Hawks, and I don't think they'll do that for Game 2. I don't think a coach, Tom Thibodeau, will have them do that in Game 2. I just don't think so.
Adam Harris, 670 The Score. We got about 30 seconds. Is this a must-win, Game 2?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question, and I think it is, you know, because against a sharpshooting team like the Hawks, if they stay hot, they steal another game. Yeah, it is a must-win, and I think that's why they'll win it.
Interesting. And that's the Game 2 is tomorrow night, of course, at the United Center. Adam Harris, thank you very much. We always appreciate you coming on with us.
I love it, guys. No problem. And, hey, Mike back there, he's going to be Jack Skilly. How about that? Coming up and down?
I like it, Mike. That's what
fine.
Do you think?
No, that's fine. That works.
He doesn't mind it.
Yeah.
Nick Letty? Maybe he's Nick Letty.
There you go. Yeah, we'll get him up. We'll get him up by Friday so he can do our show again with us. We love it. Adam, thank you, buddy.
I like it. All right, bye, guys.
See you, buddy. That is Adam Harris out actually working at the toll booth. Taking cars as they go by, throwing in 50 cents each time. 50 cents, right.
50 cents.
Yeah,
50
we wish.
All right, we're going to come back and talk some more baseball. That was my bad. Go.
Rashard Mendenhall.
Oh, yes.
What do you think? 359 call, 359-2255.
It's AJ Show.